Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. Glad to have y'all here this morning. Love the song Kathy was playing, Open My Eyes, Lord, I Want to See Jesus. We're here to praise Jesus this morning, amen? So y'all please stand as we open up our worship service this morning with I Saw the Light. I wonder. I think we need to do that last chorus one more time because we're in a Baptist church. I've never in my life been in a Baptist church where we sang I Saw the Light and nobody was clapping along with I Saw the Light. I've seen a couple of you out there trying. So let's do homage to our heritage this morning. As we sing this last chorus of I Saw the Light, let's praise the Lord, clap our hands and say I Saw the Light. Y'all ready?
I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
That wasn't that better. Amen. We all bow your heads and we open up with a word of prayer. Dear God, I praise you and thank you this morning. We can come here and worship your holy name, God, and worship you, our God and our Savior. God, you came down to this earth yourself, died for our sins, God, and brought us back to you that we can stand here in righteousness that you've given to us and praise you this morning, Lord. Be with Steve as he brings your word to us this morning, God. I pray that it lands on fertile soil in our hearts and does the work that you have intended it to do this morning, God. And Lord, I pray for Pastor Larry as he's coming back from vacation today, God. I pray that you will be with him and Donna and bring them home safely to us. And I thank you for it all. In your son, Jesus, amen.
Kindness of a Savior, the hope.
Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give you my life to follow, everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
I have days I lose the fight. I try my best, I just don't get it right. Where I talk the talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. There's no denying that I have changed. I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with the hurt that I could have helped, somebody with the hand that I could have held. I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, to be the beggar, love to be your hands in. 3. Little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. Little more like patience, little more like peace, little more like Jesus, little less like me. Little more like living everything I preach, little more like Jesus, little less like me. Be our prayer this morning. That Jesus be our example that we look to and try to get ourselves out of the way every day. Yep.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden
I'm not afraid to Lord, if there's a sinner out there, if there's somebody out there that doesn't know you, Lord, let it be today. Lord, we ask that your light would shine in this room today. We love you, Father. We ask that you keep our Pastor Larry and Donna safe on the way back to us. Lord, we thank you for this past week that we're here today. Lord God, I just ask that you would forgive me of my sins as I bring your word forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, Open Door. It's a pleasure to be here today. I mean that literally. A little bit about my week this week is I was involved in a head-on collision on Tuesday. I've never been in an accident like that before. I walked away. The other driver walked away. Both trucks were totaled. I was a very thankful man this week, and a lot of thanksgiving in my prayers this week. So I would tell Larry that this cloud of having to preach and the, the angst that I go through to try to get a message together was compounded this week. So I just pray that God works through his word as he always does. So the title of the sermon today is Light. I chose the word light for today's study in God's Word. We're going to start at the very beginning in Genesis 1, verse 2. I'm going to be using the ESV throughout. Some verses will be out of the NIV also. And I'd like to throw out a disclaimer here. Although I'll be talking about good works today, I want to make it clear that we are not Christians because we do good works, but in fact, because Jesus saved us, we want to do good works. We intend that our good works will open the door for us to share why we want to do them with others. The end result is that God gets the glory. Genesis 1, 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. A couple observations here. God creates light and darkness, then he further breaks it down to morning and night, and he calls it a day. This was God's starting time. One day would encompass a rotation of night and morning and would continue until God himself ends it. In God's spiritual world, in his spiritual world, there is no time. He established it for man. He established a beginning and an end with light and darkness. So God is the creator of light and all things to follow. I read this over, I spent some time in prayer, and then I walked away for a while. While contemplating, I ran across an experiment with creating light that captured my attention. The thought I had after seeing this was, there was nothing, and then there was light. So, today is going to be part science experiment. So my question is, kids, can we make light out of an orange? I'm going to demonstrate, and what we're going to do here is this experiment is just a bunch of wires with a light, and I'm going to cut these oranges up, and then the light is going to come out of the oranges. So after the service is over, you can come up and view this down here on the table so you can see the light. And what I want to say to you is that I did this at home, and The funny thing was, when I did it, I was skeptical as to whether or not I would be able to produce light out of just cutting two oranges in half. And sure enough, the light lit. Not only did the light light, but the light stayed on for 24 hours out of an orange. So I was completely enthralled in this, and I don't know why. I'm probably just the little kid in me. So what I'm doing is I have some wires and some probes. On one end of the probe is a copper probe, and on the other end, connected by wires, is a metal probe. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm rotating the two probes. Hopefully I get this thing together here. I'm nervous and I'm shaking, so it makes it worse. And what I'm going to ask my trusty assistant to do here as I get this going, and some of you in the front may or may not be able to see this, but there's a light bulb on the end of these two alligator clips, and basically there's a red light inside there. Now, you have to look close when you come up here, but the red light is also, I don't know if anybody can see that, but it's blinking red and green, and it's just out of two oranges. So that's my science experiment for today. I did try to take a picture in our experiment at home, and you can see a little bit of the red light there. And I don't know why I was so enthralled by that, but the words of it came out of nowhere. I didn't plug it into the wall. That's what we normally do, is we plug things into the wall and it happens. So I think it's fair to associate light with good, as God called it good in Genesis 1:2. We all have the ability to produce light, to do good things, and to be good. So my next thought was, what separates us Christians from others who do good works? Doesn't everybody want to do good things? I know there's a lot of bad people out there, but in general, I like to think that everybody wants to do good things. So what separates Christians from others who do good works? Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. And I've asked Leslie to put up some associated verses with that. To understand verse 1 better, it means that no matter what plans or motives we have, God's sovereignty reigns, and the outcome is what He wills. But there is action on our part. We have to commit the task to Him. How can a Christian shine God's light? Well, there are many ways, but one of them is by doing good works. Maybe you have a thought of a good deed to do for someone. Maybe you want God to be present in your daily plans. Start out in prayer. Communicate your intentions or your good works to the Lord. Communicate to God at the beginning of your day. Lord, this day is yours. Lord, let me be the light to those in darkness. Establish my footsteps. Establish my ways. Maybe you don't have a specific good deed in mind. So give God the opportunity to work throughout your day, and then look for an opportunity as they present themselves. This is a great start to spreading God's light. Remember, Pastor Larry said at Randy's memorial service that Randy committed what he did to the Lord, and as a result, he received a blessing. Randy's motives was to do good for you and I, and it mirrored this verse in Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the difference between a Christian doing good works and a non-Christian is that when we commit our good works to the Lord, it's illuminated by Him. Our motive is for God to do the guiding and for us to follow. Our motive is for God to get the credit for the works of our heart and to show others who God is in our everyday lives. A non-Christian who has no light gets the glory for himself. That's his reward. He can be happy in what he has done. That's as far as it goes. The person who does the good work can say to himself, I did that good work, and I'm good. Some even think that these good works will atone for the bad things in their lives, and in turn, they are a good person. And therefore, because God is good, He will allow them into heaven because they're good folks. The Christian can say, I gave the Lord my day, and look what He did. My light comes from Him. It is not my own. Through the world's eyes, all good works may appear to look the same. But through God's eyes, He sees the motive of each person's heart. The good works are attributed to Him. It is His light shining in or working through us as Christians. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As I was thinking about this sermon, I chose a story to tell you. As I read this story, I want you to look for the light in the darkness. We all have to make a choice between good and evil, right and wrong, between light and dark. If you don't know Jesus, these choices may not be as black as white as they seem. For instance, listen to this story about a young teen boy who was raised in a loving Christian home. The pressures of his friends were constantly pulling on him. On occasion, he would stand his ground, but his friends continued the assault against him. He had no idea that this was an assault. It seemed genuine, as his friends would include him in everything they do, day in and day out. Occasional drinking was becoming more prevalent. As time moved forward, it became easier for him to look the other way. His friends were important to him. Bonds were formed. And as he grew older, life choices came his way, and he and his friends were faced with some of these same life choices. His work was like that of most of his friends: odd jobs and a steady part-time job at a local restaurant, but nothing that he thought would allow him to support himself. Some of his friends went to college, and he seemed to favor the trades, but nothing solid. One day, working at a dead-end job, he was yearning for something more. As he did on occasion, he said a deep-rooted theological prayer. It might be the kind of prayer that's familiar to you. God, get me out of here. The next day, he decides to join the service, to see the world, and that he did. A couple weeks later, he sprung it on his parents. He said, Mom, Dad, I joined the Army. I leave in 2 weeks, and that he did. During basic training, he met a guy, Frank, and they became friends. They were both going to the same tech school, and they were both going to the same permanent duty station after school. During tech school, he and Frank were afforded some privileges and provided an off-base pass. They both realized on their first venture into town that they both enjoyed alcohol. This then became something they looked forward to, and in true military form, taking care of your buddy, one would drag the other to the barracks just before curfew. One Friday, Frank had early guard duty, and our young soldier met a young lady and was invited on a date. The young lady gave the soldier an address and a time to meet her in town. When the young soldier told his friends that he would not be joining them, they made sure he knew where they would be, as they had rented rooms at the local hotel and were having a party to celebrate their last week of tech school. As the time grew near, the young soldier went into town to meet his date. When he got there, he said to himself, "This address has to be wrong." He looked at the address again. It was written clearly in the young lady's handwriting. Being taught that on time was 15 minutes early, he waited at the church, which was the only thing at the address. Shortly, the young lady and her parents showed up. Being brought up in a church, he was not going to miss the opportunity to have fellowship, especially in the company of a young lady that had caught his eye. The church service went on without a hitch, and he visited with the young lady and her family, who were very kind. The young lady left with her family, and the young soldier was on his own for the evening. Realizing that the hotel his friends were at was not too far, he headed for the hotel. Upon arriving, he noticed a young lady weeping on the steps. Concerned, he approached her and asked her what was wrong. She replied that her ex-boyfriend wouldn't leave her alone and that he was drinking heavily and had passed out on the steps on the other side of the hotel. He said to her, "Well, let's go take a look at him." They found him just as she said, passed out on the steps. The young soldier went and got a couple of experts on drinking he knew from the party. They assessed the ex-boyfriend on the steps and determined that he just needed to sleep it off. Together, they carried him to the second room they had and threw him on the bed and offered the addendum to their expert diagnosis that he would be fine in the morning. And back to the party they returned. The ex-girlfriend, distraught at the behavior of her former boyfriend, did not want to go to the party and return to the steps. The young soldier, though torn between the two, followed. They sat on the steps and began to get to know each other. The young soldier asked what the boyfriend did on base as he was dressed in a white uniform. She stated he worked in the pharmacy. He asked her, "Do you think he may have taken anything from the pharmacy?" She responded that she did not know. He asked, "Has he done this in the past?" She stated, "Not that she knows of." The young soldier, after talking for a while, said, "Let's go check on him and see how he's doing." The two entered the bedroom to see the boyfriend on the bed in the same position that he was placed earlier. As the young soldier stood there, he noticed that the man's chest was barely rising and falling. He sat on the side of the bed and tried to rouse the man to wake and received no response. He took his finger and pulled open the man's eyelids and realized that his pupils were as large as the color of his eye, and they did not respond to the light. He looked at the young lady and asked her, "Are you sure he didn't take anything?" She stated that she had no idea that she wasn't with him. The young soldier went back into the next room and interrupted the party. Once he had everybody's attention, he asked if anyone observed this guy drinking or taking anything. No one answered. But the two experts in drinking restated their remedy: "Let him sleep it off. He'll be okay in the morning." The young soldier went back to the room and consulted with the young lady and tried to wake the boyfriend to no avail. He went back into the other room and gave a warning that he was calling an ambulance and that they needed to take the party somewhere else. He met with stiff resistance from the party goers and was once again asked to leave the guy alone and to have a drink. He once again returned to the other room and called an ambulance. The E-Squad arrived and assessed the boyfriend. They could not get him to respond to them. They transported him to the hospital, and the young soldier and the young lady met them there. After some time, a nurse came seeking information from the girlfriend. No word on his condition, just that they were working on him. Hours went by, and finally a doctor came to tell the two that when he arrived, he was in critical condition, and that they had to pump his stomach, and that the next 8 hours would tell whether he would live or whether he would die. He said it was a good thing that you got him here when you did, and if you would have waited a couple of hours, he would not have made it. 8 hours went by, and the boyfriend recovered fully, and the girlfriend stayed in contact with the young soldier for a while, and then they fell out of touch. So my question is, can you see the light in this story? I can see it from start to finish. The young soldier was me. You see, the light was always present with me because I was genuinely saved at age 12. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, once we believe in Jesus, we can run from the light. We can turn away. We can't cover the light with sin or hide it under a bed like Luke 8:16 says. No one lights a lamp and hides it in clay jars or puts it under the bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. No one lights a lamp and hides it because God is light. For it is you who lights, it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Psalms 18, 28. You see, I knew drinking was wrong. I knew it in my heart, but I did it anyhow. You know, besides the fact that I knew, besides the fact that I read that it was wrong in God's word, I was taught in our church that it was wrong. In my Baptist church that I grew up in as a kid, once a month after communion, our church would stand and read our church covenant together. Here's an excerpt from that church covenant. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. It wasn't just a teaching that my parents taught me, but my church stood by it too. Those who live in the light were to live it and hold others to account for it. We were to put our light on a stand, but at this time in my life, I chose to sin, and I put it in a jar, or I hid it under a bed. God was with me that day. Just another worldly day in the life of a young man making choices, light or no light. I chose not to indulge myself in the world that day. I made good choices, and the outcome was not only good for me, but it was good for someone else, and it was the beginning of the end of my drinking. Friends, once you decide to open your heart to Christ and believe in Him, your name gets written in the book of life, never to be erased. God will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can walk away. You can hide. You can be the biggest sinner, and God will not let you slip away. This is what God's word is telling us to do individually, to set your light on a stand, not just for your benefit, but for many who do not have the light. Others can see the light in you. You see, one Christian in the midst of darkness can almost cancel out darkness and even expose it. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, the truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Listen to this next part carefully. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You see, our God we serve and his Son Jesus has so much light that it can never be quenched. Your belief in Jesus is illuminating your soul. Anyone who God puts in your path can see your light. So what does it look like to be light to somebody? Well, you see someone with a flat tire along the road, you stop to render assistance. You have a coworker who you see is in distress, and you take time to talk with them. Your child befriends somebody in school, and you get to know the other child's parents. You see an elderly person struggling at a grocery store, and you go to their assistance. You drop your child off at the bus stop in the winter and see a child without head covering or gloves, and the next day, you bring them some of their own. Your neighbor's grass is high, and you offer to cut it. You see someone walking along the road, and you offer a ride. There are countless ways to show your light to others. Pastor Larry's sermon, The Vision, at the end of January, inspired this teaching. When he said that some of us need to step up at the church, I took it differently than some, thinking that we all need to check our light to ensure that it is burning as bright as it can and that we need to be inspiring others as Christians. Yes, we need to pray for our ones. Yes, we need to fill the open positions within our church. But it is my hope that we check ourselves to make sure that we are being the light of Christ in our everyday walk, that our light is shining in the darkness, that our light is shining in this dark and lonely world we live in. I think that we can all agree that this world is getting darker. Friends, we have the answer. It's within our hearts, and we need to let others see his light. In conclusion, I'm going to read Genesis 1:2 in a different way. After every comma and period, I'm going to put my commentary. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. When God created each one of us, we had an undeveloped form in the womb. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Another word for darkness is sin. It was around us. It tried to influence us. Through each stage of our growth, it was present. As we grew, its influence seemed to grow. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, but God's Holy Spirit was present also. Good was around us. Its influence was felt in all the goodness we saw. Through each stage of our growth, it was present. As we grew, its influence grew also. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At some point, we had to decide between the two, light and dark, good and evil. When we believed, we chose light. God saw that light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. We realize in our belief that our eyes were opened to see the light. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. We now understand the difference in light and darkness, good and evil. Now we are children of the light. I'm going to ask the praise band to come forward. I know that this isn't by any means lengthy, but scripturally, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about light. And as the praise band comes forward, I'm going to read these to you. And as I do, I'm hoping that this inspires you to check your light. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. John 12, 35. Jesus answered, the light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness doesn't overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. Jesus said this, then went away and hid from them. Luke 8, 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and brought to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, more will be given him, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Isaiah 60, 19. The sun shall no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Daniel 2, 22. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As the praise band starts to pray, ask yourself, is my light shining or am I hiding it? If you feel like today is the day to put your belief in Jesus once and for all, if you want to let others know your light is shining, please take a step out of your pew and make your way forward to make it final. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Will you all please stand as we sing, I Love to Tell the Story.
Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.
receive the benediction from Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You are dismissed. Thank you.
I'd love to tell the story.